harmony of the Gospels. Jesus predicts his betrayal. Heavenly Father, we ask that this day we'll learn a whole lot more about you and a whole lot more about ourselves. And with that knowledge, it will lead to greater obedience on our part. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, all right, hopefully you got your sheets. You can follow along as we harmonize this particular incident. Again, we're still on the sixth day. We're on Friday. Events are moving. The Passover's been prepared. The getting ready now to sit down and partake. And the first question on your sheet is this. When and with whom did Jesus eat the Passover with? And we're told Matthew's account. Now, when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12. Luke's account of this incident was this. And in the evening, all right, he cometh with the 12. So, who's eating the Passover with people? With the disciples. Great. Now, what does Jesus say one of them would do? Matthew says this, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now look at Mark's account on this incident. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. So you see the added phrase, which eateth with me. But basically, Matthew and Mark saying the same thing. Luke, he condenses it a little bit. He says this, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. So, how many does he say going to betray him? One. All right. Now, who was Jesus not speaking about? That should read John 13, verse 18. Part A, he says this, I speak not of you all. So they weren't all going to, in the aspect of the kiss of death, betray him, but there would be one. Now, let me read to you an earlier statement made in the Gospel of John concerning this betrayal, John 6, and now verse 70. Well, I'm going to start with verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was their declaration, Simon Peter's declaration. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So even in the earlier chapters back in John chapter 6, we see Jesus making this declaration that of the 12, there's one who would betray him, of course, speaking of Judas. Now, what did Jesus say that he knew? Well, John 13, verse 18, the last part of that, he says, I know whom I have chosen. All right, so he knows who he's chosen. But I ask you this question, what are some things that God can choose us to do? Think about it. Think back to the Old Testament, different things that God can choose for individuals to do. To what now? Deliver, yeah, like Moses. He can, in other words, he can choose us to go and perform duties for him, right? And by the way, is that just Christians, just those who are his children? No. We'll see today, he'll mention about a king who, you know, he led around like a ring in his nose, all right? So the aspect is that God can choose the unsaved, God can choose the saved to perform certain acts that he wants to be done, all right? But also, we know he can choose us for what? He can choose us to do physical things, but there, and of course, that in the realm of spiritual things, but I'm my point I was trying to make is that God can choose us to be wonderfully and gloriously saved. In other words, when you see certain things that, okay, God chose, does not necessarily mean he chose them unto salvation. He may have chosen them unto service. So there's a choosing unto salvation. There's a choosing unto service. All right? Now, why does Jesus say one of them would betray him? John 13, verse 18 says this, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, if you'll notice right on the bottom of that page, I give you a psalm, don't I? And I'm going to read that psalm to you at this time. It's Psalm 41. All right, Psalm 41. And look with me at verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9 says this. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, the immediate history of this is what? Well, I give it to you on your next sheet. It was David here. This is a situation that was happening right then and there, but it was also a prediction concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. David is going to be betrayed by Ahithophel, which was his counselor, and he will betray him and go with his son. So, he is saying that this is what's going to happen. Now, we're on the second sheet, looking right up at the top. But whereas this is a prophecy concerning, yes, David and his counselor, it's also now a prophetic utterance concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was going to be betrayed. Look at your next question on top of page 2. Why was Jesus telling this now? All right? He was telling it now because John 13, 19 says this, now I tell you, before it come, why? That when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So he says, all right, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And the reason why I'm telling you is that when it comes to pass, oh, man, you will know that I was him. In other words, when he says, I am he, that I am he, he's the one spoken of, ultimately in Psalm 41, verse 9. Okay? Now, in the midst of that, I ask you this question. What is the test of a true prophet? And I'm going to read it to you out of Deuteronomy 18. But what's the test? How do you know that Christ is a true prophet? His prophecies come true. Now listen as I read to you from Deuteronomy 18. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? Excuse me, hath not spoken. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Presumptuously spoke it proudly. So we know from Deuteronomy that, hey, there's a way you and I can tell a true prophet from a false prophet. A true prophet, his prophecies will come to pass, what, about 50% of the time? About 75% of the time, a true prophet's prophecy will always come to pass, right? A true prophet, his prophecy will come to pass 100% of the time. And this is what Jesus is saying. I'm telling you right now, before it come to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. I am the prophet. All right, look at here. Who does Jesus say receives him and receives the Father? John 13 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. All right, so if we receive Jesus, we receive who else? The Father. All right? Now, if we receive those messengers that Jesus sends to us, we also receive who? We receive Jesus, right? That's what he's saying. You know, look, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And the aspect is that when you and I go out as the Lord's ambassadors, because that's what we are, 2 Corinthians 5, we're the Lord's ambassadors, we go out, we're speaking on his behalf to someone. If they receive the truth that we're sharing with them, they in reality also are receiving Jesus and his truth. If they reject us, they in turn are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's saying all this at this very moment, okay? Now, what happened to Jesus after saying these things? Well, in John 13, 21, it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. All right? He's troubled in spirit. He knows not all, he knows one of the 12 is going to betray him that very night. Now, they all will, in a sense, betray him because they'll turn their back on him, but not as the step of Judas and, turning him over to, the Jews and then ultimately the Gentiles. But so he's saying, he's troubled in spirit. So what does that tell us about our God's emotions? Now, we know that, they call about the shortest verse in the Bible, what? Jesus wept. All right. So here we see his trouble in spirit. So we know that our God has a human side. He has an emotional aspect, and we see that, our feelings. How does he feel when you and I betray him? Brush it off as nothing? No. We see this is an indication to us that when you and I sin against our God, it troubles the spirit. What did Jesus say? And he testified and said, troubled in spirit, he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And then I ask you this question. Was Judas saved? Now, we know that he was called to serve. We know that. Was he called unto salvation? Do you think what anybody ever thought about that? What's your guess on that? I'm going to just read to you Matthew 26, verse 24. And he answered, and he said, I'm going to go back to verse 23. He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he, then we'll read that a little later. And he said to him, thou hast said. What do you think? As we're going to press on here in a moment, you think Judas was saved? There'll be an indication that indeed he wasn't. No, and yeah, oh, okay, Al's ahead of me right now. The indication that most likely he's not saved is that Satan entered into him, all right? Now, you and I can be persuaded by the devil to think and do wicked things. But to be possessed is about an unsaved individual. So let's read on. How did the disciples respond to his saying among themselves? This is just Luke. This is how they were talking amongst themselves, all right? And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Is he talking about you? Is he talking about you? Who's he talking about? Top of page 3. How did his disciples respond to his saying from Jesus? To this saying from Jesus. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And began, every one of them, to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, without going any further, just with that thought, we'll look at Mark's, what he says. And they began to be sorrowful, and they say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And John and the disciples, they looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. All right, but when you see something like this, what comes to your mind concerning the disciples? I mean, they began to discuss this thing about among themselves, you know.
They didn't point to Judas.
No. Right. So, first of all, they don't know amongst themselves who this one might be, do they? But what else? Rick? Yeah, well, we're not done yet. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, right. Now, but watch. Okay, so what else, though? When you look something like this, and he's saying, Lord. All right, good. Jerry's saying, they didn't know for sure if it wasn't them. Am I going to be the one? Is it going to be me who's going to betray you? Is it I, Lord? There wasn't in our hearts a positivity. It'll not be me. The question is, is it I, Lord? Am I the one who's going to betray you? So, boy, what does that shout out to us? We ought to all be careful, right? Aspect of saying, I'll never desert my Lord. Wait a minute, okay? We see the chosen 12, and they're asking one another, is it I? They're asking the Lord, is it I? Now, watch what happens. Someone's leaning on Jesus' bosom at this time. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, who do you think he's referring to? John, probably John. If we go to John 21, verse 20, we again see Peter talking. So it's not Peter. And we're going to see Peter asking this one to go. So probably it's John. All right? Now, what did Simon Peter want this disciple to do? We're still in the Gospel of John, John 13, 24. And John is the only one that's recording this aspect of it, okay? And so what did he want? Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. So, what's that indicate? Peter knows about John and John and Jesus. They were close. Peter realizes that there's a relationship that John had with Jesus that the others didn't have. Now, boy, that can cause a lot of what? Jealousy and envy, but we don't see it at this point, do we? Instead, we just see Peter going to, most likely John, asking John, find out who he's talking about. Who's the one that's going to betray him? Ask him. You've got that kind of relationship. And watch what John does. He then, laying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now he's not asking now, is it I? John's asking, who is it? And how did Jesus answer him? He answered and he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Mark, pretty close. He answered and said to them, it's one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. And John's account says, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Now, I give you a little thought. It was customary for the host to dip and then offer a morsel to those who were there at the table as, a gesture of friendship. So he says, okay, the one who takes this sop from me, that's going to be the one. Well, what else did Jesus say? And this is accounted in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He says, the Son of Man goeth as it's written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he'd not been born. Mark says it like this. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it's written of him. Very similar. Again, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Whoo, that is exactly. Good were it for that man if he'd never been born. So there's a real close similarity between Matthew's account and Mark. Luke, the Reader's Digest version, he says, truly the Son of Man goeth, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Now, this particular prophecy that he's speaking of right here is found in the book of Isaiah. Now, let me read it to you. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 8, he says it like this. Surely he hath borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. Oh, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And of course it goes on and on, but I think I've read enough for us to understand where this was taken from. All right, so anyway, I write this statement, though all suffering is ordained of God, all right, every bit of it. Remember what he said, the Son of Man goeth as it's written of him. Now, we can find in Isaiah 53 that's written of him. Every bit of his suffering, you know, was pretty much written in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, the thing about it is this, every bit of suffering you're ever going to experience has already been written down. Now, you don't have a book. Probably is a good thing, because if you had the book and knowing what you were going to suffer, you couldn't take it. But just as that which is Christ would suffer has been written down, and all of ours has been ordained likewise. But there's something else that we see here, okay? He says, but woe to that man by whom the Son is betrayed. What does that tell you? It's all our suffering has been ordained. It's all been written down. But what else do we see here about those who cause us suffering or about us causing suffering to others? God does what? He holds us accountable. But woe to that man. Man, it would have been better for him not to have been born. So whereas you and I know every bit of the suffering that we have had, are having, or will have, it's all been ordained of God. At the same time, we understand those who have done us harm, God holds responsible. You know? Now, Let's see what Jesus did next. John's account says this. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, what questions does Judas ask of the Lord at this time? Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now, again, I mentioned to you, Judas refers to Jesus as Master and not Lord. And you can also see aspect in Matthew 26. Later on, Matthew 26, 22 says this. He says, and as he took bless, he breasted. Wait, that's not what I want. Oh, verse 49, sorry. And forthwith he came to Jesus and he said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. So when he addresses him, it's not as Lord. All right? It's not as Lord. It says Master. Now, when and who did Satan enter into? John says this. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Now, what did Jesus say to Judas? Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now, who at the table understood what Jesus was saying? Well, John tells us. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Now, remember, John just asked him, who's it going to be? And now he says, hey, the one I give the sop to. And then we read, he gave the sop to Judas. But there's still no understanding. None of them understand. Not even John. Now, what did some of them think he was talking about? Because John gives us insight here. He says, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, okay, he was a treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. Or others thought that he should give something to the poor. So whatever's going on in their mind, they're thinking Judas is going out. And the reason why Judas is going out, well, he's going out either to pay the guy who's provided all the supper, or he's going out and give some money to the poor. Now that's what's going on in their mind. And of course, we read here, what did Jesus do? He then, having received the sop, went out immediately. And it was night. Now, why do you think Judas went out so soon? Because he knew what? He knew Jesus knew who was going to betray him. He's not going to hang around. He knows. Then he knows. Now, but Judas is still not understanding how he knows, does he? Well, did one of the Pharisees come and tell him that I've been trying to get some money, to betray him? Somebody squealed on me? But he's not thinking, oh, Jesus knows because he's omniscient. No. He does not see the Lord as being divine. He doesn't see him as being Lord. He sees him as being a master, a teacher. All right, now watch. What did these verses teach us about our triune God? Anything? Did you see anything about, we already mentioned a couple of things, but let's review. What did, whether we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what did we learn about our triune God here? Say it again. He's omniscient. He knew. All right? He knew. He knew who was going to betray him. All right? So we see that. Anything else? How do we know he's a prophet? Or how will we know that he's a prophet? Because what he says is going to come to pass. He says, I'm telling you now, Because when it comes to pass, you know that I'm he. I'm the prophet. Anything else? What do we find about our Lord and concerning relationships? Do you learn anything about that? Yeah, we keep learning that the Lord, he went to dine with 12. Not with 70, but with 12. And amongst that 12, there was one who had a very special relationship with him. And, of course, what else did we learn? Oh, we learned about our Lord that he can experience what? Emotion. He had a troubled spirit. Yes. Yep. Nope. Yep. You see him just rejecting him again and again. Uh-huh. Did we learn anything about mankind in these verses? We know that mankind can what? Can betray us. Yeah, I mean, Michael? Well, that's the confidence that we have that, not to be fretting over what men can do to us, but fret over what the Lord can do to us, because he has light over not only our physical life, but our spiritual life forever and ever. That's good. Anything else we learn about mankind? Fulfilled prophecy can help mankind to do what? He says, I've said it now that it's come to pass that you might believe. Fulfilled prophecy, I'll be honest with you, probably it was fulfilled prophecy was the instrument that God used more than anything else to draw me to him. Because I was reading a lot of the Old and New Testament and comparing. And I would see the prophecy, and then I'd see Christ, and you begin to try to figure out, well, how can all of these prophecies be fulfilled in one man? And I come to the conclusion, it could only be that he is the Messiah. All right. Anything else? Well, we know that Satan can enter into a what? Unsaved man. We learn that, okay, about mankind. And we also know this. Christians may not fully understand all things that are going on, do they? Because now the 12 are here, they're sitting, they're watching, they're hearing these things, and yet they don't fully understand it. Judas must be going. I mean, none of them believed it. Judas, what she was talking about, one's going to betray it. None of them believed it was Judas. Man, he carried the purse. He's the most trustworthy. I mean, look, the Lord gave him the purse. How might these verses change our behavior? What might we purpose as we look at these? Well, I'll tell you what. When I thought about special relationships with the Lord, I come up with a purpose. I purpose to give thanks. For what? Because every one of us in here who named the name of Christ, we have a what? We have a special relationship. Are we as close as Peter, James, and John? Probably not, right? Most likely no, but we do have a special relationship. He had the 12, and we ought to give thanks for the special relationship that we have with our Lord. Yes, amen. Another thing is because fulfilled prophecy can enhance our faith, what would be a good practice? If fulfilled prophecy can enhance our faith, what would be a good practice on our parts? We ought to what? Read and examine prophecy. Because as the more prophecy you're reading back here and you're seeing fulfilled over here, it should have the effect of causing you to have more faith in your God. Let's see. Look, I put this one down. I purpose not to feel bad if I feel troubled by the betrayal of another. Sometimes you can beat yourself up because you're feeling bad that someone else has betrayed you. But did Jesus feel troubled because someone was about to betray him? And the answer is yes. So different ones will betray us at different times. And the thing that you and I've got to understand is that we shouldn't feel bad about that because our Lord felt sorrow over the aspect of being betrayed. All right, let's see what else. And I just wrote down, I purpose to realize there may be times God does not give me full understanding of what's going on. I might have to wait another week. I might have to wait until I'm in his presence. God doesn't always give us the full understanding and knowledge of what he's doing. And we need to understand that. All right, anybody, somebody else would like to thought on our Sunday school? What we looked at here this morning? All right, well, let's give him thanks, huh? Heavenly Father, we do bow before you and we do give thanks for this time of study in your word. And we would ask that, Lord, as we learn more and more about you and we learn more and more about ourselves, that it's going to be seen in the result of us being more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.